97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Legal fights intensifying tonight to keep an abortion amendment off of your November ballot.
We're at this point because late Friday, a judge decided it should not be on the ballot. And now we're at a point where time is running out. The Missouri ballot has to be finalized by 5 p.m. tomorrow. The state's high court has to make its ruling on the abortion question before then.
Our Russell Kinsall is following both sides of this ballot fight. Russell?
Well, in a late development today, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft said he is decertifying that ballot measure after that judge's ruling that that amendment was defective. That may not have much of an impact if tomorrow the Supreme Court rules that the judge's ruling on Friday was invalid and interpreted the law.
Yeah, there's some Channel 4 coverage of what's going on with Amendment 3, and we've got former Missouri Senator John Lamping on the line this morning. And John, good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you, Mark and Kim. What an action-packed political day this is. Huh?
Yeah, no kidding. We've got the Missouri Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments at 8:30 this morning in this case, because today is sort of the deadline to finalize ballots for the election. And as of right now, Amendment 3 has been decertified.
Well, what happened on late Friday afternoon is Judge Chris Limbaugh ruled that the proponents of Amendment 3 to the most extreme abortion legislation possible, which also was purposefully written to be very vague,
yes,
such that it would impact a lot of different places in the statute. Judge Limbaugh ruled that in collecting those ballots, that the collectors were didn't provide the signees with a list of the laws that would be impacted by this initiative. And he ruled that as such, then the initiative petition itself was invalid. That's obviously going to be challenged. That's what is being discussed this morning in the Supreme Court at 8:30. It sounds like the pro-abortion side's argument will be that if this were to pass, it wouldn't repeal any laws. It would the way it would procedurally work is that the laws would be nullified once a court challenge is presented on each specific statute. So you can imagine there's a long list of statutes that that the legislature has passed over the years in favor of protecting life. And with the passage of this very extreme amendment, this vaguely poorly written amendment, the potential is for dozens of laws to be nullified or attempted to be nullified through a court process.
So what do you think the odds are that the Supreme Court decides to keep this off the ballot?
I think it's better than 50-50. Wow. The way that we do Supreme Court appointments is not so partisan. We have what's called the Missouri Court Plan. And what that means is that different groups get to nominate different people, and then the governor gets to select from three different people. I don't think that we would have gone down this path on Friday. Chris Limbaugh, let me back up for a second. He worked in Governor Parson's administration prior to be appointed to the Cole County Circuit Court. And I would be surprised if he would have ruled on Friday without the administration thinking there was a very good chance that it would prevail. Now, it's interesting. Last week on your show, and then I've consistently on social media and actually reached out to campaigns, you know, our elected leaders here in Missouri, the two U.S. senators, most of the congressional delegation, none of the statewide candidates have said anything about Amendment 3, which is the most extreme abortion legislation possible. We did hear from Holly this last week, but he focused on the fact that the legislation would allow for children to pursue sex change operations without their parents' consent. That's how poorly written this legislation, but actually it's not poorly written, it's purposely written to allow a lot of different things. But, you know, all of our leaders have been dead silent on this, which is really disappointing.
I spoke
with Missouri Right to Life people, and they said they don't understand. They've reached out to the different campaigns. So it might just be that this was kind of an inside game, that they were alerted to the fact that this possibility existed. And, you know, we'll be on our knees praying this morning throughout the day that this is taken off the ballot. And I will say this, if this fails and comes off the ballot, I personally would be very much in favor of the General Assembly putting a ballot initiative before the people. They can do that themselves, which says it's illegal in Missouri for a mother to end the life of her child while still in the womb. I'd like to see that language in front of the Missouri people, the voters, and see a real question. Like, this is what abortion is. Should it be legal or not? And I hope that we prevail today. And language like that is what Missouri voters vote on, not this this cornucopia of legislation, which is meant to deceive the voters and to convince them of something that just is not right.
I'll just remind people one more time. We face this very real dilemma, and if it was to get voted in, disastrous addition to our Constitution because of the weak-kneed Senate leadership last year, Caleb Rodden and Cindy O'Loughlin provided in Jeff City. And if it wasn't for that, we would have at least a 50-plus-1 vote requirement in 5 of the 8 congressional districts to make sure that this is truly supported by a majority of Missourians and not just the people in the population centers. And that's why we are where we are today, John. I'm encouraged by your 50-50 estimate here, because I just kind of figure the Missouri Supreme Court has never shown much of a spine when it comes to making hard decisions. If they had, they would have stripped Kim Gardner of her law license.
No, I can understand your thoughts there, but I do think that I think that what happened on Friday, if it were going to be shot down by the Supreme Court, if anything, you think like in a political strategy sense, that would have been viewed as a win for the pro-abortion people. And so in retrospect, you'd be better served by having Chris Limbaugh not rule the way he did, only to have the Supreme Court overturn it. So I'm not suggesting there's coordination between the groups. I just think that his decision to go forward was one, not like just to show that he's trying to do something, but I think it was probably with a sense that the Supreme Court might rule in favor of his ruling. But we'll see. And then, again, it's interesting how our quote unquote leaders who are quote unquote fighters are dead silent on this issue. You look to the federal level, Missouri's. It seems as if, the pro-life part of the Republican Party is being, taken for granted or being put down, actually. The federal platform has no mention of fighting abortion. And like I said before, I really would like to see, if we prevail, the actual question, not women's right to choose or medical health care, all that stuff.
Right.
Can a woman end the life of her child while the child is still in the womb, yes or no? Let's vote on that.
Well, I know the issue at stake here that led to Judge Limbaugh's decision related to what was, or maybe I should say what wasn't on that initiative petition. But I'll never forget being approached by someone who sat there when I went back and forth with him. And he tried to tell me, if you don't sign this, then women who have a miscarriage won't be able to get care. They won't be able to get a DNC. That's the kind of nonsense that people were probably told that scared them into signing it, that led to all those signatures.
Every initiative petition... at the gathering of signature phase, there's no law that says that the gatherers can't lie about whatever you're voting on, it's a circus. The signature gatherers are all, they're kind of like circus clownies or whatever, circus workers. They kind of come in from out of state and they park out at Walmarts or wherever they're going to go. It's a really bad way to make law, to have a 50, a simple majority pass and change our Constitution is a bad thing. I learned recently the state of North Carolina has no initiative petitions. Like, the people can't weigh in any form. And clearly ours at 50 is the most lax that there is in the country. And Mark, I don't think that's ever going to change. There's too much money made on initiative petitions, and there's too many vested interests to see that it remains the way it is. Most of them fail, but the political consultants get paid whether or not it passes. Or they get paid more if it passes, but they get paid a lot of money when they fail. And guess what happens when an initiative petition fails? It comes back next time around, and the political consultants get paid all over again.
It's a great point, John. Thank you for that clarity on that as well. Hey, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Yeah, have fun tonight.